You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, I just want to encourage you this morning. My message is called The Power of Christ Compels Me. The Power of Christ Compels Me. And this message is all about, through the scriptures, equipping the saints for the work of the Lord. That's you. Equipping the saints for the work that God has for each and every single one of us. And my three main points this morning are this, if you're taking notes. The Spirit compels, Christ's love compels, and compelled people go. Amen? And if it doesn't make sense yet, by the time we get to the end of this morning, you're going to be like, I am compelled. I'm compelled. And when we look at the scriptures, there are multiple examples of individuals being compelled by the Spirit, being compelled by the power and love of Christ. And just this first point this morning, the Spirit compels. You know, for those of you who are familiar with the Apostle Paul, wrote lots of the New Testament, and we see the Apostle Paul emphasizing that he's being compelled by the Spirit in Acts 20:22, and it says this, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." He's had this acute awareness that the Spirit is compelling him to do the work of the Lord. And I want to encourage you today that may our sensitivity grow, may our awareness grow, that when we feel compelled to do something, it's not because we just had a pizza dream. It's because the Spirit compels us towards the work of the Lord. See, what was he compelled to do in each of these cities that he was called to? Well, the answer's in verse 21. He was compelled that both Jews and Greeks would turn to God, have faith in Jesus Christ. A call to compel all listeners to repent and follow Jesus. That was the compulsion that gripped his heart and his spirit. You know, Paul further conveys to individuals, you know, nearly 2,000 years ago, and he conveys it to us today as well, that when he preaches the gospel, when he shares the good news, he can't boast about it. He's compelled to preach the gospel for the purity and holiness sake of it. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 9:16. "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." In the Amplified version, it says like this, "For if I merely preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast about, for I'm compelled," that is absolutely obligated to do it. "Woe to me if I don't preach the good news of salvation." Can you, are you getting this picture of Paul? He has no other choice. He's under such compulsion to the Spirit to do what God's called him to do. He just has to fulfill the plan set out before him. So how do we do that? How are we called to do that? Why are we called to do that? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, there's a level of responsibility and importance that come with this. You know, when we share our faith, that's one way we do it. When we share our testimony, that's one way we do it. When we share our story, that's one way we do it. But we don't do it to feel better about ourselves. We're lifting others up to the one who lifted us up when we do this, amen? So, but I don't sort of really know how to do that well. So have you ever sat down with someone and just told them your story? There is something powerful in sharing a story with someone else. Has anyone ever done this before? It kind of feels like nothing when you're doing it, but the person's so overwhelmed at the significant life change that you've actually gone through. And we just, it's like, well, that's just my story. But for someone else who hasn't had that as part of their story, it is just so deeply moving for them. See, the only boasting that we're called to do is boast in the goodness of God, amen? I don't know whether you're picking up in this passage of Scripture, but the heavy holy weight, not a burden, but the holy weight that's on Paul. Woe to me if I don't preach the good news of salvation. It's just this overwhelming, I must, I have to, I shall, I will, I'm doing it. May we have the revelation that this mantle also rests on us. That compelling, driving force that calls us to share the hope and good news of Jesus. So your encounter with God, your moment in His presence, it's for purpose. There's a download of the power to share, the power and compelling force that enables you, in our own ability, maybe almost impossible, but the Spirit of God enables you, compels you. And I say this over all of us today, the Spirit of God compels us today. That Spirit that compels us today is the same Spirit that compelled Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's not a separate thing, it's the same Spirit that Jesus operated under also. It says this in Mark 1:12. It says, the Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. Jesus was compelled by the Spirit also. He did it first. And we look in verse 13 that it says, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days, he was among the wild animals and angels took care of him. Why do I highlight this morning? Well, Jesus was compelled by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit to go into a time of testing, a time of faith, a time of knowing that he would not be forsaken by God, that his angels would take care of him. You know, for us, when the Spirit compels us, when Jesus compels us, at times he compels us to go into a season of preparation. A moment that may feel like I'm in the wilderness. I'm out amongst the wild animals right now. No, that's just your children. Amen. We're just in this wild, wild place. It's like, God has forsaken me. No. Jesus has been through this before. It's a season of preparation. It's a season of the devil coming and trying to tempt us to do the things that we used to do or trying to tempt us to take the easy route. But no, we start with faith. We start with believing that God has plans and promises. Now, maybe if in this moment you're like, there's a level of guilt and condemnation because there's moments where you have given in. Forget about that. Forget about that. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. God's promises are new for you every single day. Yep, we all make some mistakes, but we come back to the Father with repentant hearts. He's like, son, daughter, let's go again. Let's go again. Spirit compels us. You know, we're a people who desire to have God's will in every area of our lives, amen. See, we may go into a time of wilderness or a time of temptation, but it doesn't mean that we've been sent there on our own. I think it's important to remember that. You know, On purpose, I'm not referencing the Great Commission scripture this morning, Matthew 28:19-20. Oh, I just did, sorry. What's one of the last things that Jesus says to us? I'm with you always. This picture here, God is with Jesus always. God is with us always. We're never alone. The Spirit compels us with power. Jesus compels us with his power. Power to withstand attack, power to withstand temptation. It's a spiritual moment of empowerment, amen. You know, may we always be a people that turn to God with wonder. What do I mean by that? In the middle of a wilderness moment, in the middle of a challenging or temptation moment, may we be a people that turns to God and say, God, what are you wanting to show me in this moment? Rather than just combating against it in our own strength. It's like, God, this is like a really hard moment. And everything within me wants to choose the easy route. Everything within me just wants to go about, let's just come back to this tomorrow. But in that moment, why don't we just turn to God and say, God, I wonder, what are you trying to show me right now? What are you trying to download into my life, into my family's life, into the generations within my, what are you calling me to beat now? What are you calling me to stand up for right now on behalf of me right now and the generations that are to come? May we turn to wonder. May we never find ourselves in a place where we're calling on God to, God, remove us from the temptation, remove us from this challenge. No, he's got us there for a reason. The Spirit compelled you into that place, and God is with you always, that you may be proven faithful in those moments. Amen. See, by faith, we overcome with his power. By faith, the Spirit's compelling returns victory within us. By faith, may the miracles of God be seen when we contend with temptation. I just want to put it out there this morning. If you're the only one who thinks that you're dealing with temptation issues in your life, that's a lie from the devil. It's a lie from the enemy. Every single one of us, whether it's that little cookie in the pantry, whether it's the things we're not meant to look at. You see, I just went for the complete and everything else in between. See, remember, God's angels are there to take care of his children. You're not there alone. He is with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Let's move on this morning. Jesus compels us to go. Many of you will be familiar with this passage of Scripture. I'm not going to tell the full story this morning for time's sake, but Luke 14, 23 says this. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know, this picture of the master is referring to God, Jesus. The servant is referring to us individuals who are part of the body of Christ who serve Jesus. We co-labor together. And it's this picture of God speaking to us to go out to the highways and the hedges. The highways are the place where everyone is. The hedges are the place where some people are just to go everywhere. Everywhere in between those places as well. And what does it say? Compel them to come in. Compel them to come into the kingdom. Compel them to come and hear the good news of Jesus. Compel them that my house may be filled. Jesus wants his house full. Full, full, full. See, this passage of Scripture, the king, the master, he's prepared a banquet. Now, there were many people invited to that banquet in that passage of Scripture, but they turned their backs. They were busy. They had stuff to do. They needed to wash their clothes. I don't know. Like, the things that people make excuses for, amen, when they've been invited. And so the master says to his people, say, hey, there's a whole lot of people who are invited, but they haven't come, but there's a whole lot of people who haven't yet been invited. Go invite anyone and everyone. Go near, go far off. Go out of the way. Go to people who will listen and invite them that my house may be full. This is a picture for us today. Speaking to his laborers, to his people, he's saying the banquet has been prepared. The table has been set. This is the invitee's opportunity to dine with the master, to dine with Jesus. Jesus is waiting at the table, so that the kingdom of heaven will be filled with sons and daughters. Let it compel your heart this morning. Just stoking that fire just a little bit this morning. And so I too echo the words of the master this morning. Let's go under the compelling instructions of God. Whilst there is still room in the kingdom, whilst there is still room at the Father's table, whilst there is still a vacant seat next to you, let's go. Go to the spaces that people inhabit. Go to the places where people are found. God has a place set for them. God is serving up salvation. God is serving up salvation. May they be invited. May they taste and see that the Lord is good. By faith, may we see the unseen with people coming into relationship with him, that the kingdom be full. may it be directly connected to us being compelled, amen, to us being compelled to bring anyone from there, here, everywhere, to hear the good news of Jesus. You know, in Jude, it says this in verse 3. It says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people." Has anyone ever done anything that is completely ridiculous for love? Has anyone ever done anything? Oh, just my hand. Oh, someone's joining me with my hand. Couple of people with hands up. Everyone else is like, I would never do such a thing. As if. The compulsion of love is a strange thing. It's a strange thing. See, the Christian faith, it's an active faith. We're a faith-active church. We're a church that believes that the good news must be shared. We're a church that believes that the church is at its greatest when people are compelled by the power of Christ to share the good news. We're a church that believes that the church is being the church when we're running out of seats. Amen. Come on, let it stoke inside of you. See, the Spirit and love of Christ compels us to go out. This is what I love this passage of Scripture. Here it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that the one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." This picture of the extent of Christ's love going so deep within us that it's just like it's all consuming. Doing something completely ridiculous for love. So I don't know about you, but when love compels you, rational thinking does not factor in. Safe thinking does not factor in. Money is no objective. Embarrassment is absolutely viable. I'm not going to be able to eat for a week, but this bottle of perfume should definitely get the attention of the one that I want to be my bride. Anyone? Maybe that's just my story. It's more like eat for a month, but. See, there's a difference between love and curious interest. Curious interest flirts with the idea of love but leaves all options open. Curious interest might have multiple irons in the fire, meaning that the commitment is probably shallow and it depends on which fish bites. Curious interest is blowing with the wind. See, curious interest is okay when you're trying to assess, is this someone who I could love? Curious interest is okay when you're trying to seek faith and ask the questions, is God real? But love that runs deep is compelled. Deep compulsion to pursue the reward of love and deep connection. At this point, curious interest should no longer ever be heard of ever again. Not an option anymore. Let me say this morning. I'm going to just lean in this morning just a little bit to this. Curious interest is the saboteur of established love. You want to protect your marriage? You want to protect your relationship with God? Reject curious interest. embrace the love that you have sown into. God's speaking to hearts this morning. See, love is all in. Love makes bold statements. See, when love compels, the strongest of feelings, the sweetest of words are shared. Words like the moon and the stars are in awe of your beauty. Come on, someone. Come on. I remember standing on a jetty, overlooking the sea, the moon reflecting off the water, shimmering. I'm talking about the moon and the stars, and Naomi's like, what are you even talking about? See, love had got me deep. That was just curious interest on her behalf. But love had got me deep. Deep. See, the love story becomes your story under the compulsion of love. The story is echoed with words and declarations like this. If I could write a message in the stars of your wonder and beauty, the message would be, behold, the one who moves my heart and captures my attention walks as an angel amongst mere humanity. Come on. Come on. Oh, don't act like you haven't been there. It may be for your PlayStation, but don't act like you haven't been there. See, when love compels, nothing stands in the way. May the greatest love story in history catch and compel your heart to echo the heart of God to all humanity. Believe in him and be known by him. The greatest love story of all humanity, Jesus went to the cross, died, was buried, rose again on the third day. Why? One reason alone. So that all humanity could be restored to God the Father as his children. See, Christ's love compels us. We're convinced. We're convinced that he died for all. The greatest love story of all time is God's love for you. For all humanity, God stands at your heart today. He stands at every heart. If you don't know him yet, may your love story be fulfilled today. Just as we come in towards the close of the service today, I wanted to put this out today. You know, it's one thing to talk about, oh, have you heard of Jesus? He loves you. And like he went to the cross for you. And oh, no. It's so much bigger. So much bigger. This is God's love story that he's written for you personally. And I want to give you the opportunity. I'm compelled today. The power of Christ in me, the Spirit of Christ in me, the love of Christ compels me today to make sure that everyone in this room doesn't just know of God, just doesn't know of Jesus, but knows him personally. That you may know a God that loves you so deeply that love can be reciprocated. That God's love caused the God of the universe to do something that only he could do. He loves you so deeply. The strongest, the sweetest, compelling of love stories that the world has ever seen was written for you. Jesus, the cross, it happened for you. Jesus in the tomb, it happened for you. Jesus rising again on the third day for forgiveness of sins, it happened for you and all humanity. See, his declaration was so grand. His declaration of love was so grand that God sent his son to take on the sin of the world, that we'd no longer be separated from God, that we could be free from sin. See, just like any great love story, it only becomes a great love story when the bride reciprocates to the groom, when they join together. That's when it happens. See, when the bride doesn't reciprocate to the groom, it's not a love story anymore, it's a tragedy. And the one thing that I can be sure of is that God didn't send Jesus to take on the sin of the world, to die, and to rise again 3 days later for the love story to be a tragedy. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. See, God comes to you. Whether you're a young person in the room today, whether you're a young adult, adult, older adult, he comes to you personally today. It's like, I did this for you. I did this for you. I really felt over the last couple of days to convey this to you. Your life doesn't have to be a tragedy anymore. Life doesn't have to be full of despair anymore. There is a love story for you. Today, your life can have the love story that you so desperately want inside of you. By receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, by looking to the one who took all of your sin, who wants to open up a doorway for you to be in relationship with God your Father. How do we do that? By confessing with our mouth, believing with our heart that God raised Jesus. We make him Lord of our life. We choose to follow him all the days of our lives. It's as simple as that. And this is what I want to do today. Maybe you've prayed this prayer before, but maybe it's just been curious interest. Nothing wrong with curious interest, but that's not what we're called to say. That's a tragedy. There's a love story for you today. God loves you so deeply. Young person, God loves you so deeply. Can I encourage you? Don't live your faith in God through your parents. God has a personal love story for you. It's great that you've come to church with your parents, but you can't stay there forever. That's curious interest. There is a love story for you. Older person, maybe you've attended church throughout the years and it's like you have a genuine love for church. But have you given your whole heart and your whole life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Are you living with compelling power in your heart? It's for all of us. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to a relationship with Jesus. In a moment, we're going to close our eyes and bow our heads in a moment. And we're going to pray a prayer. A prayer of salvation, a prayer of coming to Jesus. A prayer of being known by God the Father. And this is your moment to be compelled by the love of God, to respond to the love of God. If that's you, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer after me. Church, let's join in and pray the prayer as well. We're going to pray this loud. We're going to pray this strong, amen. Because this is the moment that your love story is fulfilled. Tragedy gone, freedom has come. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear God, nice and loud, dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus went to the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sin. I turn from my ways and I turn to you. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Savior. You are King of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.